Welcome to the teachings of Father Al Lauer.
Jesus Christ is Lord. We want to start off blessing everybody. This is a very, very special opportunity. This is the fifth seminar in a new series called Life in the Spirit Seminars, not the traditional ones, although the same idea, but different teachings. And this is the fifth one when we pray for the Holy Spirit, and it is the final one. Now, you can adapt these seminars to include other Life in the Spirit seminars, and you can have some more seminars. But this is the last one, at least, of the series that we're offering. We wanted to bless you, driving out Satan, rejecting all his works, all his empty promises, believing in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, renewing our baptism, our confirmation. Let's pray right now. Oh Lord, we just thank you for so many people receiving the Holy Spirit through this last seminar, having been prepared in these last few sessions. And thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for new Pentecost in the plural. Thank you for the angels and saints praying for us right now. Thank you for victory over the evil one. Thank you for renewal of our baptism and confirmation. Praise you and thank you, Lord. We give our lives to you. Amen. Amen. Let's ask Mary's intercession again. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, just a few moments from now, we will pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you are watching this as or listening to this as part of the series Life in the Spirit Seminars, this will prepare you to be prayed over by other Christians, and in the traditional way, by praying over people, laying on of hands, you will receive the Holy Spirit. Now, there may be a few people who, through no fault of their own, they just have no opportunity for anyone to pray over them. Well, in that case, this seminar and this video will not just prepare you, it will be the means by which God pours out His Holy Spirit on you in ever greater ways. So it's either going to be the preparation for personal prayers, the laying on of hands, or it's just going to be a new Pentecost. So this is quite exciting. Okay, when you receive these prayers for the Holy Spirit, what will happen? It's hard to answer that question because the Spirit blows where He wills. It's like the wind. You don't know where He comes from or where He goes. The Spirit's unpredictable. The Spirit's God. The Spirit's infinite. The Spirit's way, way beyond us. So you can't already say what the Holy Spirit's going to do. But the Spirit has been working for thousands and thousands of years, so we do have some idea of what has happened. And let me put it this way. Some of you will have a very dramatic experience. It will be powerful. It will be dramatic, but peaceful. You say, I have never had a peace like this in my whole life. This is astounding. Others, it will not be very dramatic at all. They will not feel hardly anything. Really, it doesn't make any difference if you feel a lot or don't feel a lot, if it's dramatic, not dramatic, if it's very quick what happens or very gradual. It doesn't make any difference, just as long as God has His way. The Lord says, if you ask for the Spirit, you receive the Spirit. And so that's it. We receive the Spirit. That's simple as that. Don't think about what's happening to you or what's not happening to you or how you're feeling or anything. See, that's not walking by faith. That's looking around for some sights or some feelings or some experiences so that you can somehow kind of connect to those. That's not the way of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk by faith and not by sight. Faith, Hebrews 11:1, is confident assurance about things that we hope for, a conviction about things that we don't see. So if we're going to move in faith here, seeing things, feeling things, experiencing things, that's not important. If you have those things, great, good. If you don't, great, good. So let's really focus on Jesus. When you're receiving prayers, don't think about you. Don't think about how you feel. Don't think about what's going on in your life. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In John chapter 15, also it's in Revelation, the Spirit bears witness to Jesus. So, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, at the first Christian Pentecost, they didn't bolt out of that room and say, well, I feel good. That wasn't it at all. They didn't bolt out of that room and say, man, this is really far out. I'm really high on God. No. They didn't bolt out of that room and say, I'm feeling a lot better than I used to. I got this peace. I got this joy. I'm excited. This is neat. No, they came out of that room and said, Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you understand? That's what you need. Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I'll give you some possibilities. As you receive these prayers for the Spirit, and remember, focus on Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, what will happen, what could happen? I would say many, many times, especially for people in our culture, which the Pope calls a culture of death, which is a culture that has got a lot of strength, but also some very severe limitations, which a culture that has difficulty receiving. We find that there are just little changes in our desires. That happens so often. It's happened in me with my receptions of the Spirit over the years. And I know many, many other people had the same thing. Slight changes in desires. Like, for example, you really don't want to pray that much. Most people obviously don't. You really don't want to go to Mass that much. Most people obviously don't. Just look at how many people are there when it's not an obligation time. Look at how many people are there even then. As you receive these prayers for the Spirit, you might go home and you just say, I do feel a little bit more like praying. A little bit, not that much, but a little bit more. Just slightly. And, you know, I usually don't go to Mass on weekdays. Well, I've been going a little bit lately because of these seminars and everything. But, I do feel like, if I really got up early, I could probably go to that one Mass down the street. I'm thinking about it. See, you got a little bit more of a desire for prayer, for the Eucharist, or to read the Bible, or something like that. Now, this little more desire is still probably much less than some of your other desires. Like, you're really into TV. Love TV, 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 TV. That's all the big thing. All right. Here you go home and say, should I just turn on the TV? Some of my shows I like are on, but I don't know. I just feel like maybe what's the rush? The TV's always going to be there. You're having a slight lessening of your desire to watch TV. Your desire to watch TV is still much greater than your desire to pray. But there has been some minor changes. A little bit more desire to pray, a little bit less desire to watch TV. Go with the changes, brothers and sisters. The God-given changes. If you have a little less desire to watch TV, go with it. Don't watch TV. Say, well, I'd just be for an hour or two. Well, maybe better an hour or two, you have another little desire to change. You say, well, I'm really not that interested at all. Maybe I'll just skip it today. But just go with these little changes. Dropping certain things, doing other things. Go with these little changes, and brothers and sisters, God's going to do a number on you through those little yeses, a little baby yeses. Maybe we're so stubborn, we're so entrenched in the culture of death that, God has to take us baby step by baby step. Well, that seems like what's going on. As you go with these little changes, what's going to happen? Lots of things. Let me mention three major, categories. One would be freedom. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom. How are you going to get free? Not only does the flesh lust against the spirit, Galatians 5:17, it's the other way around too. The spirit lusts against the flesh. You can see the same thing in Romans 8. The spirit's just going to move you, say, well, why don't you do that instead? Why don't you do that? You're just little things, little changes. But it's going to kind of wean you off the things of the world. And really have you desire the pure milk of the spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. You know, weaned off the things of the world. Just little things like that. And then very gradually starting to desire the milk of the Holy Spirit. And then you could even move from milk to meat. And so you'll move from slavery that we thought was our pride and joy, our fun in life. But it's really nothing but disguised slavery. And you will be freed from these various compulsions and freed for reconciliation, worship, evangelization, discipleship, service, Christian community. Remember, freedom is not just a get out of, freedom is a get into. You watching all this TV, doing this, going there, buying that, getting all that. You don't know, you're depriving yourself. Like you say, I give up all that stuff, I'll be missing out on life. You're already missing out on life because of all that stuff. Okay, freedom. Those little changes will result in freedom. Okay, and another thing. We will start to have a desire for Christian community. Well, when I received the Holy Spirit years ago, gosh, I came out of a highly secular, humanistic environment, a highly intellectual environment, studying in a seminary and colleges for years. You know, that type of environment, you know, people are kind of independent, do their own thing, they're isolated, all that kind of stuff. And gosh, you know, I started getting these little desires for Christian community. In fact, it were even more than little. They were really strong. I was kind of shocked. I never had anything like this. Instead of watching TV or doing my own thing or having my own kind of private time or my own independence, you know, I wanted to be with other Christians. Boy, I never was like that before. Kind of didn't know what to do. Go with that. Go with those little changes. We have a little book called Introduction to Small Christian Communities. We have another book called 12 Seminars. This is a good follow-up for these Life and the Spirit seminars on building Christian, small Christian communities. This is so critical that you get into this, because in the old Life and the Spirit seminars, they said, boy, if you don't move into a prayer group after receiving the Holy Spirit, this whole thing probably won't amount to much. It might even be a problem for you. Well, I think that's true. The only problem is, there's hardly anybody moving into prayer groups after Life and the Spirit seminars nowadays. What are we going to do? I think the Holy Spirit's raising up these small Christian communities all around the world. Presentation Ministries has a network of small Christian communities throughout the Midwest primarily, although it could be other places too. But brothers and sisters, really go for that. And now, right now, if you say, I'm not at all interested, that's understandable. You haven't got prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit yet. But after you receive the Spirit, I think you're going to notice some minor and possibly major changes here. Go with that. Go with that. It's so important, because if you don't move to Christian community, it's not going to work out too well. A third thing that these little changes could effect if we go with these God-given little changes, and this is so critical, Pentecost in the plural with an S on it. Remember, the Holy Spirit is supposed to be just kind of wave after wave after wave. It's not supposed to be, well, now we had Pentecost, that's the end of that. No, no. That's the beginning of that. I don't think we should ever use the word Pentecost in the singular. I think we should try to use it in the plural. Let me explain. When Mary received the Holy Spirit, we talked about how perfect her reception was of the Holy Spirit. It was a conception. When she received the Holy Spirit, she said, behold, I'm the servant, I'm the slave woman of the Lord. Oh, you know, yes, then what happened? She proceeded in haste into the hill country, and Elizabeth received the Holy Spirit. The baby in her womb, John the Baptizer, received the Holy Spirit. Mary received the Holy Spirit more as she magnified the Lord, and her being just rejoiced in God, her Savior. And she prophesied that the rich would be sent away empty, the poor would be fed, that those on the thrones would be brought down, and the lowly would take over the throne. She prophesied a revolution. See, there were Pentecosts here. It's hard to count them. There's so many movements of the Spirit. There's Mary at the Incarnation. Then there's Elizabeth and John and Mary again. And I don't know, I guess Zechariah gets in here later on too. It's Pentecost after Pentecost after Pentecost. Oh, brothers and sisters, right now if I said, boy, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you go out into the highways and the byways, you compel them to come in, you tell them about Jesus, you open them up to the Holy Spirit, you lay hands on them, you pray for them, and you say, wait a minute, no way, I ain't doing any of that, you're crazy. I can understand where you're coming from, but when you receive the Holy Spirit, you might say, well, I guess it wouldn't hurt to at least tell somebody. Thank God. Thank God. That's a little bit better than you were before. Go with that. Go with that. And that will lead to another that. And go with that and that and that. Oh, brothers and sisters, we've got some, I guess you would call them catalysts. Things that can just start a chain reaction. Go with those. Now, God, as long as you have love in your heart, 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ impels us. You, even if you don't say it perfectly, the right things, don't worry. Just give a witness. Don't get into a big complicated thing. Don't give all these teachings or anything like that. Just give a witness. Say, you know, I was prayed for the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit's really helping me. I'm starting to want to pray. I know I was really bitter against this person, but I forgave him, and it's a miracle. You know that. You know I've talked about that person, gossiped about that person, and I'm wrong. I'm sorry. And they say, I can't believe he's saying that. He said that? I can't believe it. You just witness. Just witness on what the Holy Spirit is doing. Love will motivate you. And the Holy Spirit, the first gift of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, also Isaiah 11 is wisdom. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom on how to go about it. And the Father will give you boldness and zeal. You know, you say, I know my Father loves me. The Holy Spirit's crying out in my heart, Abba, Father, I know He loves me, so I don't have to be afraid of nothing. I can be bold, I can be courageous, I can be free. I can be zealous. So, you get the idea that the love for Jesus will empower you. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit will direct you. And the zeal that comes from knowing the love of the Father will, give you the right kind of attitude of joy and freedom in proclaiming what God is doing in your life. But be a witness. You know, that first Christian Pentecost, 120 received the Holy Spirit in the morning. Now, if that's all we got here, that's ain't Pentecost. This is an aborted Pentecost. Remember, Pentecost ain't what happened at 9 in the morning. It's what happened at 9 in the morning and then in the afternoon and et cetera, et cetera. We wouldn't have had the birthday of the church because of the Holy Spirit coming out at 9 in the morning. That wasn't it. We got the Holy Spirit, the birthday of the church, because of what happened after the 120. The 3,000 who were baptized that afternoon and probably into that evening. But do you see what I mean? What will happen to you when you receive the Holy Spirit? Focus your eyes on Jesus. Praise Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Oh, you'll probably see some changes. Sometimes major, sometimes minor. But go with these God-given changes. What will happen if you do? Freedom. What will happen if you do? An openness to Christian community. Very important. Without that, I don't think this whole thing is going to amount to much. Might even be a problem. And what will happen when we go with these little changes? We will have Pentecost turn into Pentecosts with an S on the end. Do you see what God wants to do? Now, there's so much more. There is so much more. But I would just say those are a few major highlights from the Scriptures and the
what the Spirit has done in the churches over the years. So, let's freely pray now. I know you renewed your baptism and you renounced Satan and everything, but, you know, that might have been a little ways back. So let's do that again. And then we're just going to pray over you. As I said, some of you, this will be preparing you for it to be prayed over personally. Others, this will be it. This will be your new Pentecost in with yes. Now, you've lived your own life long enough. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. The life I live now is not my own. Let's just quit doing our own thing. That's the worst thing we can do. And let's live for Jesus, a life of faith in Jesus. I'm going to go through the baptismal promises. First one, the answer is I do, by faith, by grace. Do you reject Satan? I do. Do you reject all his works? I do. Do you reject all his empty promises? I do. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was crucified, died, buried, rose from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father? I do. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? I do. I do. Now, as I'm taping this, this is the 40th anniversary of my confirmation. We did not plan it this way at all, but God planned it this way. I didn't even know this until just a day before we did the taping. I knew my day of confirmation, but I knew the day of this, but I didn't put them together. But I just think that God's going to do something wonderful. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7, he's going to stir into flame the gift bestowed when hands were laid upon you. Stirring into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to extend hands on you. Father, in the name of Jesus, stir into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit in our brothers and our sisters' lives. Renew their baptisms and confirmations. Lord, give them a docility, an openness, a zeal to receive the Spirit, a devotion to the Spirit. Remove the obstacles. Lord, may the flesh be crucified. Lord, may we forgive everyone who's hurt us in any way. Lord, may we be willing to do anything, change our lives and our lifestyles. Lord, we don't know how, we're overwhelmed by it, but we're willing. By your grace, we're willing. By your grace, we'll forgive. By your grace, we pray, we open our hearts through the intercession of Mary. We say with Mary, Lord, I am your servant, your slave even. Let it be done to me according to your word. Lord, where there's any resistance, may that be gone. May our brothers and sisters receive the gifts of tongues and begin to praise you, obeying you as you say, worship me, worshiping you in their own language, and then as they run out of words, worshiping you in other words. Lord, may that one prophesy and that one receive the gift of healing. And that one intercede, and that one hospitality, and that one the gift of celibacy, and that one the gift of redemptive suffering. Oh Lord, pour out your gifts, and especially the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, which is the beginning of so many other things. Come, Holy Spirit, Lord, pour out the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and patience and peace and mildness and generosity, oh, and self-control. The works of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, free us. Lord, open us to be brothers and sisters in Christian community in real, practical ways. Lord, may this Pentecost result in another Pentecost and other Pentecosts. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, just thank the Lord right now. Jesus, thank you for doing this. Jesus, you are the Lord. Don't think about yourself. Jesus, you're the Lord. Jesus, you're the Savior. Jesus, you died for me. Jesus, you rose from the dead. Jesus, you promised us the Spirit. Jesus, you're seated at the right hand of the Father. Praise you, Jesus. All glory and honor and blessing and power belong to you. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to us now in New Pentecost.
You have been listening to Father Al Lauer. Visit our website, presentationministries.com.
Overwhelming love to give us your body and